Fire and Brimstone, written by Sid Demina, read by Opal Song. Fandom, One Piece. Rating, explicit. Relationship, Marco, Ace. Also tagged for, alternate universe, Demon AU. Demon Marco. Marco POV. Marco-centric. Demon POV. Explicit sexual content. Mera Mera no Mi, or Flame Flame Fruit. And the Whitebeard Pirates. Warning for graphic depictions of violence. Specifically the opening scene, which involves someone being burned. He finds the kid on the battlefield, or perhaps it's more accurate to say that the kid finds him. The air is thick with smoke, acrid with the stench of gunpowder, and choked with the sickly char of burning flesh. Little under 3 hours ago, this had been a lovely little seaside town, and now warships smolder in the bay, wreckage scattered across the shore, flames continuing to spread from building to building. The haze of smoke is so thick you can barely see through it, but the distant sliver of white sails on the horizon can just be made out if one squints. Retreating into the distance as the Moby Dick vanishes over the horizon. Bodies litter the shore, flashes of pale skin and white uniforms bobbing in the surf. More marines than pirates, but then that's no surprise given the odds. Even on its own, the Moby Dick is more than capable of taking care of a marine fleet. These few poor, ambitious warships hadn't stood a chance, for all that they insisted on picking the fight. The battle is over now. Those few marines who aren't already dead well on their way to dying. The town civvies long since fled, and Marco is about to leave when the kid finds him. He comes stumbling through the wreckage of the street, edging around the burning pyre of what was once a quaint little shop front, a wild look in his eyes and soot smudged across his face. The kid is a mess, streaked with blood and ash and sopping wet from the dip he'd taken in the surf. And it takes Marco a moment to place his face under all the soot and blood. It's his eyes that get Marco in the end. The cut of them. The sheer furious intensity of his glare. Spitting hot and sharp enough to cut diamonds. He'd been wearing a similar expression. Marco remembers when he came scampering over the side of the Moby Dick, knife clenched between his teeth, throwing himself at one of the most powerful pirates to sail the seas, with nothing more than a toothpick knife and a glare to back it up. Kid can't be more than 18 or 19, but he's got balls trying to take on Whitebeard like that. "You're that kid that tried to kill Whitebeard," Marco notes, causing the kid to freeze, eyes narrowing. Around them, the street continues to smolder, another building cracking and caving in on itself, sending up a swirling wave of sparks, embers glowing cherry red amongst the consuming darkness of the charcoal. By the end of the day, the streets will be streaked with it, water running black through every gutter. Last he'd seen of the kid, Whitebeard's men had been hauling him beneath deck, kicking and screaming and snarling up a storm, twisting and threatening to bite, even as they went to dump him in the brig. Whitebeard had been laughing, a great belly-aching sound that sounded all too amused for the fact that an attempt had just been made on his life. The kid hadn't managed to put a single scratch on him, but damn if he hadn't fucking tried. He'd been a wild thing, Marco remembers. Scrappy and fierce. Must have slipped the brig once the fighting broke out. Made his escape while the Whitebeard pirates were distracted. "You're a demon," the kid replies sharply, ignoring Marco's statement. His eyes flicker to the charred bodies at Marco's feet, at the building still smoldering around them, his hands tightening around his knife. Seems he'd found another one. He stands tense, ready to bolt in an instant. Smart kid. "I saw you on Whitebeard's ship. You contracted with him?" "Something like that," Marco says with a shrug. His form shimmers ever so lightly as he moves, threatening to break out into flames once more as he leans back against the ruined wall, the surface immediately beginning to blacken and crack at the touch. "It's funny," Marco thinks, looking over the kid, "the way some humans can look more beast than animal." The kid is lean, sharp-edged, the same hungry fury in his eyes that Marco sometimes sees in the dogs that lurk around human settlements, mangy, half-starved curs that bare their teeth at the world, even as they curl their tail between their legs, picking a fight even as they flinch back from the first blow. The kid narrows his eyes, thoughts flashing behind them. Marco can see the exact moment he makes up his mind, because he coils, drawing in on himself with a sharp sort of tension, bracing himself for an attack even as he prepares to launch his own. Marco can almost see him bare his teeth, flashing his fangs like one of those feral mutts. "Make a contract with me," the kid says, glaring at Marco, as if daring him to refuse. His gaze is thick with anger, with rage, desperation, his resolve so sharp it threatens to cut the air itself. Funny thing is, Marco can't see a single ounce of fear. Grown men have pissed themselves at the sight of Marco, at the sight of what he can do. And yet, here this kid stands in the midst of the carnage, glaring up at him as if daring him to fucking try. "That's what demons do, isn't it? Make fucking contracts?" "Some demons," Marco says, shrugging one shoulder in casual agreement, arms crossed over his chest. "But not me. Sorry, kid. You'll have to look elsewhere." Marco pushes himself off the wall and turns, the air sizzling as his flames expand, blue fire consuming the mortal flesh he'd trapped himself in as he spreads his wings, ready to fly. The kid has balls, Marco will give him that. But Marco isn't interested in taking on any contracts, at least not any serious ones. The air goes bright and hazy with the force of his heat, air shimmering and dancing around the flickering flames of his wings. And Marco feels the cobblestones crack beneath his claws as he tenses, readying to leap. He graces the kid with one last glance over his shoulder. "See you around, kid." He doesn't expect the kid to grab him, doesn't expect fingers to close around his shoulder, interrupting his leap. The moment he makes contact, the kid's fingers begin to blacken and burn. And the kid snarls, closing his teeth around a scream, even as Marco's flames rip through his flesh, burning through skin and muscles and bone alike. Still, he doesn't let go. "Seven fucking hells," Marco says, even as the kid's knees buckle. He goes down, clutching his injured arm, the flesh blackened and charred all the way up to the fucking elbow, tears streaming down his face even as he clenches his teeth so hard blood begins to drip between his lips. "What the fuck, kid?" Marco snaps, rounding on him. "Are you fucking insane?" Marco is a demon of the cleansing flame, an avatar of life and death given form through the endless, all-consuming fire. Running hot, his flames are enough to melt the stone foundations of the fucking earth. And this kid just reached out and fucking grabbed him. The kid curls in on himself, doubled over, breath coming ragged, and it's a wonder he isn't fucking screaming. Isn't fucking unconscious. The kid makes a wounded noise, raw and agonized, clutching at his ruined arm. Marco shifts, taking a half step forward. Though to do what, he doesn't know. Heal the kid? Kill him? Fucking leave? Marco's never been more fucking baffled. This whole situation is utterly unprecedented. Quick as a viper, the kid reaches out, grabbing at Marco's leg with his good hand. "Don't," the kid says between gritted teeth, glaring up at Marco. And his eyes, God, his fucking eyes, they fucking blaze. "You can't leave yet. You haven't fucking made a contract." His fingers claw around Marco's ankle, desperation lending his grip strength as the kid glares up at him, furious and resolute even in his agony, his blistered and blackened arm clutched to his chest. And Marco could kill him. Should probably kill him. He'd kill anyone else who tried to take these kinds of liberties. Tried to force him into a deal the way this kid is. But there's something about the kid that stays Marco's hand. Maybe it's the fact that he'd even dared ask, walking up to a demon right in the heart of his own carnage, stepped over the bodies of men dead at Marco's own hand to demand a contract. Maybe it's the fact that even now, broken and bloody, so badly hurt that the kid's eyes are fucking bleary with it, he refuses to let go, still baring his teeth and glaring, daring Marco to go ahead and fucking finish it. The kid has fire, and fuck if Marco doesn't like that. Marco crouches before the kid, catching the kid's chin in his hand when he starts to dip, threatening to collapse. He holds him sure, holding him up so Marco can get a good look at him, the kid's jaw working beneath his touch. He meets the kid's eyes and smiles as the kid glares right back, fierce and furious even now, even as he struggles to keep his eyes open, to not give in to the pain and pass out. Unconsciousness would be the kindest thing that could happen to the kid right now, and yet he clings to consciousness, clawing and fighting to stay awake. It's as stupid as it is fierce, and Marco can't help but feel almost fond of the kid for it. "A contract, then," Marco says. "Let me guess, you want all the usual things? Immortality, power, money, all that jazz?" "Make me strong," the kid says, word mangled by the shallow panting of his breath, the blood running thick in his mouth. If he isn't already in shock, he will be soon. "Strong enough to fight and win." "And what will you give me in exchange, kid?" Marco asks, amused. The kid's eyes are fading, growing hazy with the pain, only to snap back into sharp focus. He's barely clinging to consciousness, and frankly, Marco is surprised he hasn't already fainted. My fucking soul," the kid spits, baring his teeth in a bloody snarl. "That's what demons fucking want, isn't it?" Most humans, they try and bargain, try and work their way down, give themselves a better deal. Not this kid. He looks Marco right in the fucking eye and tells him to take top prize. Doesn't pretend this is anything other than what it is. Damnation. Fucking soul indeed. All right then, Marco says with a smile, feeling the fire flicker beneath his skin, bathing the kid's face in unholy blue light. The power to defeat your enemies, to fight and win, in exchange for one mortal soul. Sold. The contract snaps to life between them like a string pulled taut. Marco can feel the tug of it, insistent and immediate, pulling at his magic and demanding he keep up his end of the bargain, even as the mark blossoms on the kid's skin, the dark circle of the contract spilling over his shoulder, in the very same place he'd reached out and grabbed Marco's own. And people say Marco doesn't have a sense of irony. He could just make the kid stronger and faster, throw in a healing factor for good effect. But instead, Marco does something else. Instead, he reaches deep inside himself, to the very heart of his magic, the seething, consuming inferno that makes up his infernal soul, and takes a piece of that instead, feeding the liquid fire directly into the kid's veins through the bond that now links their souls. The kid's eyes widen, the circle on his shoulder blackening and twisting as fire erupts beneath his skin. He hadn't screamed when he'd grabbed Marco, but he does now, voice breaking on a raw note as the flames explode outwards, searing over flesh and swallowing him entirely. He screams and he doesn't stop screaming for a good long while. Marco rises to his feet, watching as the flame consumes him, turning him into a living pit of fire, the earth beneath him bubbling and combusting with the sheer force of the blue flames, hellfire stronger than the mortal plane was ever built to withstand, spilling out from the kid's body. He tastes the new bond, feels the strength of it, the pull vibrant and sharp and angry and so fucking delectable. Tastes the name of his new contractor, the soul now tied to his own. Portgas D. Ace, huh? Marco says, turning the name over in his mouth as he looks down at the flames, so fierce and hot now that you can barely make out the boy within, writhing and screaming as his mortal form is consumed and built anew. It's been centuries since Marco bothered to take on a proper contract, and millennia before that since he bothered to make one quite this strong. I look forward to seeing what you can do. It takes 3 weeks for the kid to stop accidentally setting his clothes on fire, and even longer than that to stop bursting into flames at the moment something makes him raise his voice. Marco will hand it to him. The kid is stubborn. He keeps at it, practicing his transformation again and again until he's got it down. And then he keeps going, keeping it up until it's almost second nature, until the flames come to him just as easily as drawing in a breath. And so they should. The fire is as much a part of him as his mortal body now, entwined so deeply with his being that the two will never be separated, not without destroying the kid's soul completely. The kid's not entirely human anymore, not even close, and he knows it. He handles it well, better than most people Marco has seen take on contracts of this nature. Usually there's some apprehension, some fear, horror at the change they've undergone, the way their mortal form no longer sits around their soul exactly the way it once did. The kid doesn't even blink. He leans into it, embraces the flames utterly and wholeheartedly, not even hesitating for an instant. It's sort of flattering, actually, the ease with which he takes up the flame, accepting it as his new being, as much a part of himself as the beating of his mortal heart. Doesn't make the kid any less of a pain in the ass, though. Sure you don't want any tips? Marco asks, perching on top of a nearby rock as the kid tumbles and turns, sending himself sprawling flat on his face in the dirt as he attempts to throw himself into a forward rush, flames crackling through the air at incendiary speed. Fuck off, the kid growls, hauling himself back off the ground. His face is smudged with dirt, arms dotted with bruises where his previous attempts have seen him careening into the cliff face. There's blood dripping from his nose and a gimlet look in his eye that says he's not going to let this up until he's got it down once and for all. I'm just saying, Marco says, waving a hand, his fingers briefly dissipating into pale flame before reforming. Whoops. Better keep an eye on, making sure he's solid. I've been doing this shit a while, if you need some advice. Ace makes a noise of scorn, spitting a mouthful of blood on the ground and turning his back to Marco. Marco watches him take a deep breath, shoulders drawing together as he tenses, muscles coiling as he prepares himself for the next rush, flames dancing across his skin for a moment, a deep and delightful orange, brow furrowing as he concentrates, his form wavering for a moment as he tries to corral the flickering tongues of flame into the desired shape. For a single moment, there's nothing but fire, pure and beautiful, all trace of mortal flesh consumed. And then the kid tilts forward and the flames go careening in all directions, sputtering and coughing as fire abruptly gives way to manifest flesh, dumping the kid on the ground once more. It's a tricky lesson, the one the kid is trying to learn. Made all the harder by the fact he's still thinking in terms of motion, not combustion. Fire is fleeting, insubstantial, lighter than air, and twice as quick. Every second of every day it consumes, kept alight by a constant reaction of oxygen and energy, elements and fusion. Flames don't walk. They leap, consume, ignite. Mortal limbs are cumbersome, all momentum and gravity, and the moment the kid stops trying to move and starts thinking about how to spread, he'll be sorted. You're not going to get anywhere doing it like that, kid, Marco says as Ace falls flat on his face again. On his last attempt, he'd almost gone charging right into the face of the cliff, and frankly, Marco wonders how the kid hasn't managed to concuss himself yet with the amount he's throwing himself about. It's a question of mentality. You're not thinking about it right. I didn't fucking say you could talk, Ace snaps, shooting Marco a vicious look. And Marco gives a small shrug, rolling his eyes. Who the fuck invited you anyway? I didn't say you could hang around. Yeah, yeah. Marco says. He sends Ace an amused look. And really, it says something, doesn't it? That he finds the kid's aggression more endearing than anything. He's the most foul-mouthed, bad-tempered human brat Marco has ever had the pleasure of meeting. But there's something oddly charming about the way he glares and bares his teeth, bristling like a wet cat. Sorry for wanting to make sure you aren't burning yourself into a crisp, kid. Stop calling me a fucking kid, Ace snarls, tongues of flame flickering across the surface of his skin with the force of his irritation. The fabric of his shorts starts to darken, black holes spotting the material where the flames glow the brightest, and Ace immediately curses, rushing to pat them out. Marco makes an amused noise, leaning back. Ace manages to get his shorts to stop smoldering, eventually, and shoots one last glare at Marco before turning back to his practice, drawing himself up once more, brow furrowing in concentration as he scowls. The flames flicker, growing brighter for an instant as the fire spreads and consumes his mortal form, leaving a haphazard patchwork of fire and mortal flesh, halfway manifest and all the more terrifying for it. Ace curses, concentrates, and a moment later, the rest of his organic form melts away, leaving nothing but a crackling torrent of flame, only vaguely man-shaped now. The fire draws in on itself, crackling and roiling, erratic tongues of flame flicking out to taste the air. For a single moment, a tongue of flame darts out, growing in size, intensity, spreading, and Marco thinks the kid's finally got it. Then the kid slips, the flames bursting outwards in an uncontrolled reaction, too fast and hot and greedy, yanking the kid in all directions as the flames race outwards, greedily consuming everything in their path. Ace snaps back together with a cry of pain, the spreading flames abruptly drawing back like a rubber band pulled too tight. He hits the ground hard and curls up there, clutching himself and groaning, fingers pressed to fiery seams where his mortal form is still trying to knit itself back together. Ace might not be entirely mortal now, but his soul is still that of a man, give or take a little. And it can't sustain itself in such a patchy, segregated form. Pull too far, spread too thin, and eventually it won't come back together at all. Marco makes a low noise, pushing off his perch, and approaches. Closer, but you're still not doing it right, kid. Ace makes a rough noise, as angry as it is pained, and flops over onto his back, glaring up at Marco. I didn't ask for your help. Marco gives a small shrug and rolls his eyes, standing over the kid and watching as he slowly pulls himself up, one hand still rubbing softly at his side where the seam of fire is only just starting to fade, his mortal form stitching itself back together. Maybe, but I'm going to give it to you anyway, kid. At this rate, you're going to rip yourself to pieces. Ch! Ace scowls, pushing himself off the ground. He staggers a little, still lightheaded, but catches himself, shooting Marco a vicious glare as if daring him to comment. I'm fine. I can fucking figure it out by myself. Marco makes a noncommittal hum, not saying anything to that, and steps closer, positioning himself by the kid's shoulder. Ace shoots him a suspicious look, but doesn't try to immediately shank him, which Marco supposes is about as close to permission as he's gonna get. You need to stop trying to move, Marco says, trying to think how to put this into words. At his heart, Marco is a being of the flame. If anything, it was the mortal movement that came difficult to him. Fire doesn't have limbs, doesn't have gravity and articulation, doesn't have momentum. It's combustion, gas and heat, and instantaneous reactions. Try and move the molecules that are already there, and you won't get anywhere. They're already gone. So what? Ace asks sharply, shooting Marco an incredulous look, not at all amused. To move, I shouldn't fucking move? Yeah, that's super fucking helpful. Marco has to resist the urge to roll his eyes. He steps around, circling in front of Ace. Feel that pit in your belly, Marco says, one hand falling to rest above the kid's stomach, not quite touching. The hunger there, consuming. The flames are ever hungry, and all you need to do is feed them. Picture a string in your mind, the path of where you want to go stretched ahead of you. All the atoms that lie in your wake, oxygen, nitrogen, argon, fucking organics, whatever. It's all food, all fuel. All you need to do is point yourself in the right direction and go. Ace scowls, but Marco can see the cogs turning, the thoughts already whirring away behind those bright eyes. He steps back, leaving Ace to it, and watches as the flames begin to flicker. This time, the transition to the flame is almost seamless, Ace's mortal body melting away like it never even existed, leaving in its stead a seething ball of flame. For a moment, it hovers there, flames flickering and churning, rippling in and out of itself. And then a moment later, it's gone, giving way to a crackling torrent of flame that scythes up into the air, blazing higher at dazzling speed. It crackles, darting through the air, turning in a smooth arc before abruptly breaking out into a jagged zigzag, wild and chaotic, Ace's control not slipping for a second. The forest clearing falls away as Ace surges up into the sky, higher and higher. Ace gives a whoop, flames giving way to mortal form for a single instant as he turns, plummeting back down toward the earth with an exulted cry, only to burst into flame again at the last moment, a roiling wave of fire spreading over the grass as Ace hits the ground, smoothly drawing back up together to reveal Ace standing there, doubled over and clutching his sides, breath coming in pants. He hits the ground a second later, unsteady on his feet. But even that isn't enough to mar his grin, wide and fierce and fucking triumphant. Marco leans back, watching with a small smile. The way Ace has taken to the flame, it's a work of art. The kid is a goddamn force of nature. That much was obvious even before Marco granted him a demonic intervention. As he is now? Well, the kid's gonna make waves. That much is certain. Firefist Ace, they call him. It's been 3 months now since Marco made a contract with the kid. And already Marco is starting to hear his name whispered in the streets. All the papers have been able to talk about for days was Ace's showdown with the Marines at Momoiro Island. Brat took down an entire Marine base all by his lonesome. And even in the Grand Line with all its big names, not many people can claim that. Kid must have had a hell of a time of it, Marco thinks, and can't help but feel a little proud. Kid was a goddamn menace even before getting the fire, and now... Well, Marco doubts there's anything on earth that'd be able to stand in the kid's way now if he put his mind to it. He's scrappy like that.
Ain't that the knife, Brat?
Whitebeard asks, following Marco's gaze to the wanted poster. There's a handful of them scattered across Whitebeard's desk alongside the morning paper. The new up-and-comings his sons had thought worthy enough of note to pass along word about. You don't become as powerful a pirate as Whitebeard without keeping an eye on the competition, no matter how small they start.
Firefist, huh?
Whitebeard says as he lifts the paper, taking another swig of his rum. He sends Marco a knowing look, one bushy brow raising. The eyes beneath are dark and heavy, just as sharp as they've ever been.
And here I thought you'd sworn off contracts for good.
Kid had fire, Marco says with an easy shrug, leaning back against the armchair. He takes a sip of his own drink, enjoying the sharp tang of it on his tongue before the alcohol starts to evaporate, quickly burning away to nothing beneath the heat of his inner flame. That's one thing to be said for Whitebeard. The man always has excellent booze.
Afraid I won't be able to take any jobs for a while, old man. Kid has me bound up pretty tight.
Whitebeard lets out a rumbling laugh, the noise echoing through the room, so deep and low it seems to vibrate through the very walls of the ship.
Never thought I'd see the day where you'd be tied up in a proper contract. You know half my kids would have taken you up in an instant if you'd shown even a lick of interest.
Marco tilts his head, giving a noncommittal shrug.
You know I'm not one for contracts. Not really. Ace is, well, call him a special case.
In all his years, Marco has never seen someone approach a contract the way Ace did. Or at least, never seen anyone who lived to tell the tale. Demons are a proud lot. They don't take well to being ordered around. It says something about Ace that he somehow manages to make being an arrogant little shit somewhat endearing. Or maybe it's just Marco that's at fault. He's always had something of a soft spot when it comes to brats.
A special case, huh? Sounds like the brat's something else.
Whitebeard chuckles, leaning back and taking a long draught of his rum. There's not a hint of resentment in his face. Not even a single thought about being disgruntled that Marco had taken on an outside contract rather than picking from Whitebeard's own sons. And that's why Marco likes him. Whitebeard's never been one to get hung up on the details. Not on something like this. "Any idea why he's gunning for you so hard?" Marco asks eventually, taking another sip of his rum. Beyond the wide windows, the sun is just starting to set, casting the ocean in a palette of vibrant purples and glittering oranges, as bright and precious as gold. The crew will be readying to light the lantern soon, preparing to weigh anchor. He's made, what, 3 attempts now? "Shh, you think he's the only one to want to try and test his mettle against me? Nah, the brat's just more persistent than most," Whitebeard says, dropping the empty rum bottle back onto the table with a sigh, already reaching for the next. He yanks the cork out with a twist of his teeth, taking a long gulp. "Kids like that, they're fighting against the whole world. Got something to prove and they'll die doing it. You know, I've half a mind to make him one of my crew the next time he shows up. Kid's got spirit. Almost enough to make me feel young again."
"No doubt he'll take that well."
Marco makes an amused noise, leaning forward to rest his elbows on his knees as he pours himself another glass. At this rate, it'll all be gone before either of them get so much as tipsy.
"Shh, he'll come around. They all do,"
Whitebeard says, settling back into his chair with a grunt. In the light of the lamps, he looks paler, his age sitting heavy on his shoulders, some of the exhaustion bleeding through. Time catches up with everyone, even pirates as infamous as Whitebeard.
"He'll be part of the family soon enough."
"You know, anyone else and they'd consider that kidnapping," Marco says dryly, carefully not commenting on the bandages that circle Whitebeard's elbow, just visible beneath the rolled fabric of his sleeve, where the nurses apply his IVs. Aging or not, Whitebeard's not dead yet, and the man still got his pride. Whitebeard snorts, throwing back his head and taking another long drink. Half the bottle vanishes down his throat in one long gulp.
"We're pirates. Anyone who doesn't want to be here can damn well fight their way off. And anyway, I don't choose just anyone to join the crew. Brats like that, they burn themselves out if you let them. Kid could use a family."
"Whether he likes it or not, apparently," Marco says wryly. And Whitebeard laughs, the sound booming through the room.
"That's the spirit,"
Whitebeard says, raising his bottle with a sideways grin, sharp-toothed and fierce.
"To family, and all the fucking annoying brats you have to kidnap to make one."
Marco rolls his eyes but raises his glass regardless, clinking it against Whitebeard's. "To friends," Marco replies, "regardless of the way they make you suffer their company."
"Shh,"
Whitebeard says, downing the last of his bottle, wiping the last drops of rum from his chin with the back of his hand.
"You know you'll miss me when I'm dead, you damn chicken."
"Not if I'm the one who kills you, I won't," Marco replies easily, just to watch Whitebeard chuckle as he downs his own glass. There's smoke in the air, the faint sounds of shouting rising from below as the Marines sweep the streets, the blades of their bayonets flashing in the afternoon light. Another patrol sweeps by in the street below, and Marco pulls back, drawing back from his perch on the edge of the roof before one of the Marines can get lucky and look up. A pirate ship groans in the harbor, its hull left ravaged and gaping by the pounding of the Marines' cannons. It's taking on water quickly, listing in the surf, and give it an hour or two, and Marco doubts there'll be much left of it at all. Just a wreck that needs to be broken up before any other ships can scrape their hulls upon its mast. The pirates that crewed it aren't in a much better state. those that Ace didn't get, the Marines are taking care of. The smattering of gunfire growing more infrequent as the last stragglers are hunted down one by one. Cries go up from below, the Marine patrols sniffing out the poor sod who'd been trying to make his break through the alleys below, and Marco leaves them to it, hopping over to the next roof, even as the crack of gunfire lights up the air, signaling another life cut short. No matter, the man's soul will end up where it needs to be, and like it or not, with pirates, that tends to be with Marco's ilk. Marco hums a tune beneath his breath, darting across the rooftops in the direction he saw Ace take off. No doubt the kid's already made it out of town, hunkered down in some bolt hole to wait out the heat. Usually, Marco doesn't bother to stick around after he's made a contract with someone. He just hands them the power and leaves them to it. Wind them up and watch them go. Sit back and watch the chaos unfold. Cinema for the endless and eternal. With Ace, he finds himself taking a more active role, stopping in to check on him every once in a while. Maybe it's the fact that Marco hasn't taken a proper contractor in near on 600 years now, but he finds himself rather invested in Ace. Helps that the kid is still a brat, and Marco has bestowed him with more unearthly power than is wise to give any human, let alone one as temperamental as Ace. Kid's a fucking spitfire, and that was before Marco gave him the ability to summon the flames of hell. Ugh, not you again. Ace scowls when Marco finally tracks him down in some decrepit hut in the middle of nowhere. Not that it took much tracking at all with the way his soul sings through the bond, the note as clear and bright as the chime of a bell. It doesn't matter where Ace goes, he'll never be able to escape Marco. Not even death will be reprieve, not with his soul already promised to Marco's tender mercies. You know, Marco says as Ace tries to slam the door in his face. Marco catches it with one hand, easily shoving it open again. Most people would be flattered having a demon of my caliber take such an interest in their well-being. I'm being positively gracious. Fucking gracious my ass, Ace mutters, but steps back to let Marco enter the hut. Marco steps in, casting a curious eye around the surroundings, and finds it entirely as miserable on the inside as it looked on the outside. Ace ignores him, turning back to his rat's nest of blankets and easing himself down with a wince, one hand coming to brace his ribs. Marco's got to admit, the kid looks rough. Bruises dot his side, blossoming over his ribs, all purple and deep, aching blues. He's holding himself like his ribs are broken, all careful movements and soft, shallow breaths, probably cracked at the very least. And there's blood drying in his hair from a cut on his temple that's just starting to scab over. Still, he'd held his own against Smoker before the rest of the Marines showed up, which is more than Marco can say for most pirates. You look like shit, kid, Marco says, taking a seat on a nearby crate. It groans worryingly beneath his weight, but it holds. For now, at least. Marco isn't so sure it'll survive him getting back up again. Gee, I had no fucking idea. Fucking Smoker and his goddamn fucking sea stone, Ace says, shooting Marco a flat look of annoyance, hindered only by the fact that he can barely see out of his left eye. He leans back against the wall, drawing one leg up against his chest, and Marco knows the position must hurt, must put pressure on his ribs, but Ace doesn't make a sound. Stubborn brat can't bear to just lie down and take it easy. Not if it means looking weak in front of Marco. I'm surprised Kimuri is willing to put up with it, to be honest. She was always, well, let's call it a little temperamental, Marco says, leaning back. To say that Kimuri is bad-tempered is the least of it. And yet, for once, she seems to have found herself a contractor just as stubborn as she is. More so if smokers manage to force her to agree to a deal with him wielding Sea Stone. But then, maybe agreement had nothing to do with it. Demons aren't the only ones who can twist their bargains to their own benefit. And if the Whitebeard's gossip is to be believed, Smoker is one of the few up-and-coming Marines actually worth his salt. People like that, there's always something special about them. Goddamn pain in the ass is what Smoker is. Him and his damn contract. Ace grunts after a second, letting his head thunk back against the wall as he shifts, trying to find a position that puts less pressure on his ribs. Marco hums noncommittally, leaning back. Smoker's left Ace in a right state. Of that, there's no mistake. But from what Marco caught of the tail end of the fight, Ace didn't leave Smoker in a much better condition. A tie is impressive, especially against an opponent like Smoker, armed with Sea Stone, and no small amount of hockey. Even more so when Ace's own grip on his power is still so new. Damn if Marco's gonna tell the kid that, though. He'd probably try and shank Marco for paying him a compliment. Still, impressive or not, the fight had left the kid a mess. Generous as Marco was with his gifts, a healing factor wasn't among them. And at this rate, it's gonna take the kid a good few weeks before he's back to fighting fit. Why are you here anyway? I thought you'd have better things to do than stalking some kid. What do you want? Ace demands suspiciously, sending Marco a narrow-eyed look. His ribs must be playing havoc with him, aching with every breath. But Ace glares at him regardless, not letting even a hint of it show on his face, save for the tight clench of his jaw. And yeah, sure, the kid is a mess, but Ace would sooner shank himself with a Sea Stone shiv than ever admit as much. Maybe that's why Marco does it. Kids like Ace, they're stubborn, proud. They'll weather the storm come hell or high water and let their ship batter itself to pieces against the rocks before ever once thinking to ask for help. That sort of stubbornness, it's just as likely to kill you as keep you alive. And damn if Ace doesn't have it in spades. Their contract says nothing about Marco healing Ace, about providing any additional sort of care. And Marco would be well within his rights to leave the kid as he is. Demons don't do people favors, and they certainly don't perform services without being paid for it. And yet, Marco finds himself leaning forward anyway. Hey, what the fuck are you? Ace snarls, jerking back as Marco reaches out a hand. He tries to shuffle back, but Marco just catches him by the arm, pinning him in place easily. Ace struggles, but he's so weak right now that it's barely even worth mentioning. Don't worry, I'm doing you a favor, Marco says, laying his hand flat against Ace's skin and ignoring the orange flames that flicker around his wrist, trying to warn him off. Marco gives a reassuring smile, showing far too many teeth. Ace pales. This won't hurt a bit. People forget, but Marco isn't just a fire demon. He's a phoenix. The phoenix. Life is just as much a part of him as death, and it takes only a thought to send a flicker of pale flame coursing through Ace's body, burning beneath the skin and congregating in the bruises, the broken bones, all the places his body aches and quails. Slowly, quietly waiting for repair. Fucking son of a bitch! Ace hisses, fingers coming to claw at Marco's arm. He howls as the phoenix fire burns through him, flaring over his skin and sinking deep into the tissues, burning away any lingering trace of injury and infirmity, and leaving his flesh whole and hearty in its wake. Marco holds the fire just long enough to ensure that any stray aches and pains are chased away, and then draws back. Ace makes a pained noise, halfway between a wheeze and a curse, slumping back against the wall as the fire abruptly leaves him. And, okay, Marco may have lied a bit about it not hurting. His flames heal, but nobody said fire was ever kind. This sort of healing, it has a price. Paid in the cauterized flesh the fire consumes before reforming it whole once more. Ah, well, Marco's sure Ace will get over it. He's had worse after all. And anyway, what's a moment's pain compared to a month and a half with cracked ribs? You! Ace hisses once he finally gets his wits about him enough to sit up, hand twitching as if in search of a weapon. He looks like he'd like nothing more than to stick a hatchet through Marco. Marco just gives him an easy shrug, leaning back in his seat once more. And Ace makes a noise of disgust, sitting back, one hand coming up to rub at his ribs, where the fire had been the most concentrated. Don't ask me to fucking thank you for that, Ace snaps finally, shooting Marco a glare. I wouldn't dream of it, Marco says easily, sending Ace an easy smile that leaves him scowling furiously in return. So, where to next, kid? You've got half the Marines in Paradise hunting for your head right now. Funnily enough, they're not happy about you burning down all those bases of theirs. Shh, Ace says, drawing in on himself, leaning back against the wall. He snags his hat from where it tipped over onto the ground and shoves it back down over his head, glaring at Marco from under the brim. Like they could even catch me. Nah, I'm gonna head over the red line. I hear the fucking Moby Dick's been spotted over there. You know, one of these days Whitebeard's lot are gonna do something about the fact that you keep going after their old man, Marco says, a note of amusement in his voice. Ace makes a dismissive noise, rolling his eyes. The brat. Marco thinks about telling him about what Whitebeard had said, giving him a warning. But in the end, it's more fun to just sit back and wait to see what happens. Marco's generous, but he's not that generous. Why are you gunning for his head so bad anyway? Marco asks. Someone think you had a grudge. Ace just sends him a flat look. You're an idiot, the face says. I can't believe I'm even talking to you. Which, rude. Marco has been startlingly polite. Nothing's even been set on fire or anything. Whitebeard's the strongest pirate in the world, Ace says, tone acidic. How's that for a fucking reason? Take him down and there won't be a single person in the Blues that doesn't know my name. Marco hums noncommittally. He expected as much. Sure, there might be some other reason, some deeper motive. But with a kid like Ace, it's hard to say. People like Ace, they've picked a fight with the world itself, baring their teeth at the everything and everyone just because they can. Just because it's the only way to prove they're even there. To scream and shout and bite and say, I'm here, I'm alive, come and fucking get me. Marco admires it. Really, he does. There are two kinds of people in the world. Those that believe that it all has meaning. A grand plan ticking behind it all. An order to all things. And those that know it doesn't. Kids like Ace, they have a choice. Die quietly, small and forgotten, praying that things might one day change. Or seize fate in both hands, snarl and kick and fight, struggle against the powers of the world even as they try to grind them into dust. Make them pay, even if only for the blood they spill when they finally slit your throat. Well, good luck with that, Marco says, pushing himself up off his seat. Though, Marco says, pausing as he reaches the door, if you're heading to the New World, you might want to brush up on your hockey, kid. Just a word of advice. The last thing Marco sees as he slips out the door is Ace's furious scowl. Marco takes off, flames singeing the packed earth as he lurches into the sky, the cold sea winds catching his wings and tugging him ever higher. If he listens closely, he can almost hear the sounds of Ace cursing him out. Ha! Sweet kid. The next time Ace comes for Whitebeard, the fight lasts longer. Half the deck of the Moby Dick ending up scorched and charred before Whitebeard finally puts the kid on the ground. By the time Marco gets there, Ace is locked in the brig again, left hanging upside down. Still snarling and cursing as he fights against the ropes, Seastone shackles enough to keep him contained for now. Marco can hear him shouting, even from down the hall. Fucking piece of shit, I'll blow you to bits, let me go, fuck, laugh it up, you shithead, I'll be coming for you next. When he spots Marco, he, if anything, only gets more annoyed, scowling at him through the bars as Marco trades a few words with Martinelle. His glare only intensifies as Marco steps through into the cell, waving his hand and telling Martinelle he can take a break. I'll take care of the brat. You go get yourself a coffee. Sure thing, Marco, Martinelle says, nodding his head easily and tossing him the keys. Just lock up again when you're done. I'll be back in 15. Come to fucking gloat, Ace snaps when Martinelle is finally gone, glaring up at Marco furiously. His face is starting to go red, the blood rushing to his head, and Marco wonders how long it is they've had him hanging. Not long enough to put a curb on his temper, obviously. What about? Marco says, taking a seat across from him. Ace doesn't seem to have any answer to that, because he only glares at Marco all the more. Heard Whitebeard made you his offer, Marco says, leaning back until his back is pressed against the bars. He sends a pointed look around Ace's surroundings. Guess you didn't say yes. It's a fucking joke, Ace snarls. And if he could, he'd no doubt be spitting on the floor. Family? Yeah, fucking right. What a load of shit. Marco shrugs. Whitebeard doesn't say stuff he doesn't mean, and he doesn't invite just anyone to join his family. He thinks about telling Ace that most of the rest of Whitebeard's crew was recruited the same way, and that now they wouldn't leave if you paid them. Thinks about telling him that he thinks Ace could be happy here, that it might even be good for him. Still, Marco knows saying it will just get his head bitten off, so he keeps his mouth shut. Like it or not, Ace is on Whitebeard's ship now, and Whitebeard's decided the boy's going to be family. Why are you so opposed to it? Marco asks instead, genuinely curious. Others would kill for the chance to be in your place, and you know it's a good deal, so why? Ace just glares at him, mouth set into a firm line. And Marco can tell just from looking at him that he's not going to budge an inch, stubborn brat. Are you going to let me out or not? The brat says finally, breaking the silence to glare at Marco. It sounds like the words physically pain him, his furious scowl suggesting he's already dreaming up some revenge to inflict on Marco for forcing him to have to ask for help. Not that Marco had anything to do with him getting himself into this situation. Nah, Marco says, pushing up off his seat and leaning down to ruffle Ace's hair, enjoying the outraged shriek it earns him. Told Martinelle, didn't I? Won't let you escape on my watch. If you want to get out, you're going to have to bust yourself out, kid. Ace's curses follow him all the way down the hall, tossing the keys back to Martinelle as they pass one another. Some things, Marco thinks, are entirely too predictable. To Ace's credit, it only takes him 4 hours to break out. It's dark by then, the lanterns lit and casting the deck in a dim light, great sails casting looming shadows high above. Eerie, perhaps, if not for the clusters of crewmates who still sit around the deck, a few playing rounds of cards while they keep the helmsman company, while others mill around, quiet laughter carrying across the decks as they pass a bottle of rum back and forth. Marco shouldn't really be surprised that the first thing Ace does is try to assassinate Whitebeard. It's impressive that he even makes it to his cabin, and to tell the truth, even Marco can't quite tell how he'd managed it. sneaking the length of the ship without being seen by a single person. Ace's stolen knife glints in the moonlight, held in a white-knuckled grip. The two of them caught in a moment of hard-edged silence as Whitebeard and Ace stare each other down across the room. Hidden by the shadows, Marco hesitates, for once truly unsure which side to take. Whitebeard's been his friend for well on 50 years now, and if it were anyone else threatening him, Marco would burn them to a crisp without thinking twice. But he really doesn't fancy killing Ace either, and at the moment, it looks like he's going to have to choose one or the other. Marco had hoped it wouldn't come to this.
"Come on then, brat. You gonna do it or not?"
Whitebeard rumbles, eyes narrowing when the moment draws out. Standing in nothing but plain clothes, his greatcoat and hat set aside for now, he should look vulnerable, should look weak and exposed, but he doesn't. Even now, in the comfort of his quarters, the patch of an IV line still visible on his elbow, Whitebeard looks as much a monster as ever, every movement with the same smooth strength as a beast.
"Shut up,"
Ace snaps, teeth bared in a snarl that looks more animal than human. He takes a step forward, muscles coiled beneath his skin, looking like a spring drawn that might snap at any moment.
"I'm going to kill you. I'm going to fucking kill you."
"I don't think you will," Whitebeard says, lips twisting into an actual proper smile.
He looks pleased. More than pleased, he looks almost proud. Crazy bastard.
"Look at yourself, brat. You're a fighter, not a killer. You're not the type to kill an old man in cold blood."
"Shut up! You don't fucking know me!" Ace snarls, bristling.
The knife glints in his hand as he steps forward.
"Don't you fucking dare look down on me, saying shit, telling me you want me to join your family. You don't know a single fucking thing about me, so shut the fuck up."
"Don't I?"
Whitebeard replies, raising one eyebrow, staring Ace down with a gaze intense enough that it could melt steel.
"I told you you could be my son, boy, and I wasn't lying. You think I can't recognize a fucked up brat when I see one? Why'd you think I asked you to join my crew, boy? Brats like you, it's the reason I made this family."
"Shut up! Just fucking shut up! Stop fucking saying that! You don't know me! You don't know who I am!"
Ace growls, voice catching now, and he looks about one hard shove away from trembling like a leaf. This is more than just being angry, Marco realizes, something clicking into place. There's definitely something going on here. Something deeper.
"I know you're Roger's kid,"
Whitebeard says bluntly, and Ace's face loses all color even as Marco feels himself almost slip from his perch. Whitebeard's eyes don't even flicker to him, though by now he must know that Marco is here.
"What?"
Ace stutters, taking a stumbling step back.
"How?"
"Kid, I knew from the moment I first saw your face. You're his spitting image when he was your age,"
Whitebeard says, which only makes Ace tense more, flinching, each word hitting him like a blow. The knife is loose in his hand now, forgotten.
"Then you... why? He was your enemy. Why would you..."
"Because it doesn't matter,"
Whitebeard says, voice ringing with such sheer fucking certainty that it feels like the air might shatter around the words. Like the force of Whitebeard's resolve alone would be enough to make reality tremble and break.
"Kid, it never fucking mattered. Ain't your blood that makes you who you are. It's who you choose to be. Family ain't blood, it's nakama."
Ace swallows thickly, hand clenching around the knife once more. Though even Marco can see the way his fingers tremble around the hilt.
"And if I choose to kill you?"
Whitebeard steps forward, meeting Ace's eyes squarely as he grabs the hand and brings the knife to his throat.
"Then do it. I'm not gonna make your fucking choices for you, brat. Kill me or don't."
For a second, Marco thinks Ace might actually do it. His fingers tighten around the knife, still shaking, and he presses it right up against Whitebeard's throat, close enough that it draws a line of fine red across the length of his neck. And then Ace is throwing down the knife, taking a shaking step back as he jerks his head away, angry tears glittering in his eyes as he draws in a ragged breath. Whitebeard's hand lands on Ace's shoulder, a warm, heavy weight, firm as it is gentle. And then Ace is being hauled in until he's leaning against Whitebeard's side, face buried in his shirt as his breath hitches and catches as he tries not to cry. Whitebeard doesn't say a word, letting it all pour out, all those ugly hurts that have been bottled up, tearing the kid to pieces from the inside out. Marco meets Whitebeard's eye over Ace's head, meeting his steady gaze, and inclines his head. A second later, he's gone, melting back into the shadow and leaving them to it. Ace is one of Whitebeard's sons now. He'll take care of him. Ace might have accepted his place on Whitebeard's crew, but that doesn't mean he acts less like a feral cat about it. He snarls at anyone who tries to come close, cursing and picking fights with anyone who dares to look at him for a second too long, vanishing for hours into the depths of the ship before appearing again with no notice after people have become half convinced that they should maybe start a search looking for his body, just in case it got stuck somewhere and starts to rot. Still, he sticks around, which Marco thinks is rather telling in its own right. "So, settling in all right?" Marco asks. He and Whitebeard sitting on the top deck, trading a bottle of whiskey back and forth as they watch Ace mingle with Whitebeard's sons. Well, mingle. Two people have broken noses and another is trying to lasso Ace with a rope. The full sounds of a shouting, screaming brawl not really making for light afternoon listening. But no one's actually on fire, so Marco reckons Ace is actually getting along with them well enough. Whitebeard laughs, a full-bellied thing that echoes over the deck as he takes a long gulp of the whiskey, earning a disapproving look from the lurking pair of nurses. Just growing pains. Always takes a bit of rough and tumble before the new ones settle in. Who'd have thought it? Marco says, leaning back against the rail and glancing over so he can study Ace, his face set in a furious snarl as he pulls someone to the ground by their hair. Charming kid. The man himself having a son. It's not safe even now for them to speak the name aloud. People have died over this, blood shed over the mere possibility that Roger might even have a child. If the Marines ever found out that he did actually have a son, one who grew up to be a pirate, no less, it'd be a slaughter.
Hell of a scary man, Whitebeard says, with a tone that's only one part wistful nostalgia,
the other a fierce sort of pride. The two of them had been rivals, after all, which, with pirates, basically means that they'd enjoyed fighting each other too much to admit being friends.
Ain't nobody else in the world who was like him, getting that far without ever making a contract. Though these days you could say that red-haired brat is getting close.
I suppose I shouldn't be surprised, Marco says, turning back and accepting the bottle as Whitebeard passes it to him. No kid of his would ever grow up happy to just be a farmer on some tiny island. Still, I don't think he had anything on the brat's temper when he's in a snit. The kid's a real menace.
That he fucking is, Whitebeard laughs, popping open another bottle. If I weren't already old and white, the kid'd be giving me gray hairs. Seas be my damn witness.
That's a sight I would have paid to see, Marco replies, which earns him a crooked grin from Whitebeard.
Got some work for you if you're willing to do it,
Whitebeard says once he's downed his bottle. Marco's never officially been contracted with the Whitebeard Pirates, has never officially joined their crew. But he still does odd jobs for them, now and then, anyway. Casual jobs, off the record.
There's someone causing trouble in some of the territories out in North Blue. I'd head there myself, but that brat Kaido's been throwing his weight around and needs to be put in his place. Any other of my boys I send will take weeks to get there, and it needs faster handling than that. You willing to take a look?
Marco shrugs, taking a sip of his whiskey. Sure thing. Haven't got much going on anyway. Good to have an excuse to stretch my wings.
Knew I could count on ya,
Whitebeard says with a rumbling laugh, slapping Marco on the shoulder. There's a squawk from down below as a flare of fire explodes across the deck, Ace finally losing his temper about something or other. And Whitebeard only laughs.
Bottle of rum that your boy'll take out, Jozu,
Whitebeard says, leaning against the rail as he takes in the chaos below. Marco snorts, shaking his head. No deal. Jozu will punt him into the ocean faster than you can say bum bet. Ace is good, but he's not melting diamonds good. Not yet, at least. It takes Marco about 3 weeks to finish up with the mission Whitebeard sent him out on. And by the time he comes back, Ace is looking more settled. It's startling, the effect that joining up with the Whitebeard crew has on the boy. It's been a bit less than a month and a half, but the kid is already starting to look better these days. Less thin, less hollow-eyed, less like any stray breeze might send him falling over into a snapping, snarling rage. He'd looked like a stray dog before, all gaunt edges and hard angles, eyes cold and teeth set to bite. But now he's filling out a little. Looks like he sleeps a little easier these days, too. The bags under his eyes a little less deep. Having a family's been good for the kid, no matter how much he might complain about it. There's a party going on when Marco arrives. Some celebration about having won a pissing match with one of the new admirals. And the entire Moby Dick is caught up in it, shining like a beacon across the ocean with the number of lanterns they've lit. Music and booze both flowing freely. Fight must have been a good one. Not that the Whitebeards have ever needed much excuse to get drunk. He finds Ace up in the crow's nest, bottle of rum in hand as he watches the celebrations down below. Marco alights next to him, claws carving divots into the thick wooden rail before he takes human form once more, throwing his legs over the rail before dropping down to take a seat next to him, accepting the bottle when Ace passes it his way. Marco takes a sip and raises a brow, torn between shocked and impressed, because that's fucking strong stuff. Stronger than he'd been expecting a brat like Ace to be drinking, at any rate. Kid's only, what, 18? 19? Usually it takes people years of drinking to work up a tolerance for stuff this strong. Still, Marco doesn't comment on it, taking a long sip and handing the bottle back without a word. Half expected to come back and find you'd burned someone to a crisp, Marco says, another loud cheer going up from below as someone brings out another cask of ale. Nothing's even on fire. You really must have been behaving, kid. Becoming fond of the place? Like you can talk, Ace snorts, taking a long gulp and leaning back against the rail. Elbow braced on it, shooting Marco a pointed look. You're basically one of the crew. The way the rest of them talk about it, you might as well be first mate. Marco shrugs. Some demons, they turn up their noses at the whole thing. Earth, humans, Marco says, accepting the bottle when Ace passes it back to him. Can't stand to live amongst all the worthless flesh bags. They make their deals and only stick around long enough to reap the rewards. Me? I sort of like it on Earth. People are interesting. I wouldn't have minded, I think, if I'd been born human. You're a weird demon, Ace says, shooting him a weighing look. Marco chuckles. Yeah, well, you're a weird human, so that makes a pair of us, he replies, leaning back and taking a long sip of rum. Below, the dark waters are glittering golden with the lights of the Moby Dick, the air loud with the sound of laughter and merriment. It's a good night, Marco thinks. A night to remember. He passes the bottle back to Ace, who takes it, raising it to his lips and taking a long swig before lowering it onto the bench, the liquid swaying within. Then Ace is leaning over, one hand coming to settle on Marco's chest, fingers a burning heat against his front as he throws one leg over Marco's hips, then leans in and kisses him. Ace tastes of rum and smoke, of fire burning beneath skin, and his lips sear where they touch, not hesitating for an instant as he licks against Marco's mouth, deepening the kiss as Marco makes a small noise and lets him, eyes slipping shut. "Huh," Marco says when Ace draws back, though he doesn't get off Marco's lap, settling there, his legs a warm weight across Marco's thighs. "You do know what you're offering, right, kid?" Marco asks, even as his hands drift up to Ace's hips, thumbs stroking at the sliver of bare skin where his shirt rides up. "This isn't in our contract, giving me something like this for free. Well, demons get greedy." "Who says I'm not the one getting something out of it?" Ace says, picking up the bottle once more and raising it to his lips. He finishes it in two long swallows, dropping it to the side as he licks the last drops of rum off his lips. The sight of it is enough to make something sear low in Marco's belly. "Well, I guess I can't argue with that," Marco says, and catches Ace in a kiss again, hands tightening on his hips as he draws him in and kisses him properly. The kiss, it burns. Ace's mouth is a brand against his own, sparks catching in the space between every shared breath. Ace kisses like he's ravenous, greedy and consuming, leaning in and taking and taking and taking. Marco doesn't need to breathe, and neither does Ace. Not really, not anymore. But that doesn't mean Marco doesn't kiss him until he's breathless, fingers curling around Ace's hips as he drinks him in, burning the taste of rum from his mouth and the breath from his lungs. Stray flames spill over his fingers as he traces skin, singeing cloth as he drags his fingers up under Ace's shirt, and the spark of Ace's own flame against his is tantalizing, brief flickers of raw energy that spark on his nerves, mingling with his own flame. If it was anyone other than the two of them here, they would be burning, flesh blackening and bubbling beneath the sheer heat of it. But there isn't anyone else here. It's Ace, the fire just as much a part of him now as it is Marco. And Marco doesn't think he's ever known a greater pleasure. The crow's nest is bathed in fire now, a glow of pale blue and flickering orange. And the only reason the wood hasn't caught alight is because Marco is keeping a careful eye on making sure it doesn't. Still, any more and they're going to start drawing eyes, and that's not how Marco wants the evening to end. Marco curls his fingers around Ace's hips, drawing him in close, and the next second a burst of flame washes over them, the place they'd been sitting in the crow's nest abruptly empty as they land with a thump on the bed. Ace letting out a noise of surprise as his back hits the mattress, the two of them now flipped, Marco looming over him. This is technically a guest room, but the Whitebeards have kept it reserved for Marco for years. He even has a few odds and ends stored here, which makes it about as close to home as any place on Earth ever could be. "Last chance, brat," Marco says, leaving enough room that Ace can squirm out if he decides to. "No hard feelings if you decide you'd rather not." Ace just narrows his eyes halfway to glaring now, already drawing himself up to bristle. And really, Marco needs to stop finding that as cute as he does. The kid is doing a number on him. "If this is your shitty way of saying you don't want it..." "Never said that," Marco replies, leaning in now, closing the distance now that he's sure Ace isn't going to pull a fast one and bolt. Ace's legs are still wrapped around his hips, an inversion of their earlier position, and when Marco leans in, he can feel the heat of him, fire licking across skin and a deeper heat like the roar of a bonfire, all eager hunger and burning desire caught just below the surface. Oh, they haven't even started, and Ace's soul is already singing, delicious little brat. I'm a demon, Marco says, one hand sliding up Ace's arm to pin his wrist to the bed. Marco's lips skimming the column of Ace's throat, pausing to press a superheated kiss to the skin. Ace tensing beneath him as Marco nips, breathing in his ear. Consent, brat. Sorta important. Was climbing into your fucking lap not obvious enough? Ace bites out, breath cutting out on a strangled noise as Marco mouths down his neck. Maybe, maybe not, Marco says with a hum, drawing back just enough that they're an inch apart, bodies still tangled together. Ace makes an aggravated noise, looking furious and ever so slightly flushed at the fact Marco's not going to go on until he goes on and says it, which only makes it all the more endearing. Really, this brat will be the end of him. Fucking yes, okay? Ace snaps, not meeting Marco's eyes, his face flushed, completely red now. He grits his teeth. Yes, fucking yes. Now, I swear to God, if you don't fucking fuck me. One thorough fucking coming right up, Marco says, cracking a crooked grin when it makes Ace snarl and thrash against him, spitting curses, fire sparking across his skin. He's radiant with it, hungry, licking tongues of flame searing across skin. And Marco must spend a split second too long admiring the sight of him, because Ace makes a noise of furious impatience, and the next thing Marco knows, his back is hitting the bed, Ace shoving him down as he climbs back on top of him. You, Ace hisses, shoving at Marco's chest with one hand, are such a fucking asshole. Then Ace is kissing him again. And if Marco thought he was a spitfire earlier, it's nothing on how he is now. Impatient and furious and greedy in equal measure, jerking at Marco's clothes as he kisses him with a ferocity that borders on burning. When the buttons on Marco's shirt catch, threatening to snag, Ace snarls and burns it away completely, fire searing through the fabric, burning away to reveal bare skin as Ace kisses at his neck, settling between his legs. Thought you wanted me to fuck you? Marco asks, bemused, looking up at him. Changed my mind, Ace says, sending Marco a look as if daring him to complain. His gaze is fiery, but Marco can make out the split-second uncertainty there, the pause. He'd stop if Marco said he didn't want it this way, would go back to the original plan. It's sort of cute that he thinks he could do anything to Marco that Marco didn't want. To tell the truth, Marco's happy either way, so he just shrugs, giving Ace a crooked grin. Sure. Ace's eyes flash, fire spilling across his shoulders, form wavering for a second at the flash of heat that surges through him. Then he's stripping off his shirt, tossing it to the side and leaning back down over Marco, kissing him deep. Hands find skin, tracing the hard lines of Marco's front, fire flickering across skin as he drags his hand down, sparks flaring. Ace mouths at his neck, biting down his throat, laying flickering kisses that sting with sparks as he bites his way down, descending until he's tracing the lines of Marco's tattoos. His hands are burning hot, stars gone supernova, and the feel of it, the spark of Ace's fire against his own where Marco's form wavers, distracted, is enough to make his head fall back. There's not another creature in the world that could touch Marco's flames this way and survive. And pressed together like this, body to body, flame to flame, the feeling of it, fire bright and burning, is enough to take his breath away. Ace bites his collar hard enough to bruise, earning a pleased noise from Marco, who tangles a hand through his hair and drags him back up into another kiss as Ace grumbles at the buttons of Marco's trousers, snarling when he proves too impatient to deal with the buttons, drawing back with a glare, sparks already flying around his fingers. Before Marco can lose any more clothes, he intervenes, pushing Ace's hands away and taking care of the problem himself, popping them open. Ace reaching down and yanking impatiently as Marco kicks his trousers off. Then Ace is kneeling over him, Marco bare, Ace's hands burning where they rest on Marco's thighs. Ace looks him over, eyes dropping to Marco's cock. Marco watches him, enjoying the way his eyes linger. Marco's human form is entirely arbitrary, chosen more or less because Marco liked the look of it. And he's proportioned himself to be roughly average, which makes the way Ace's gaze lingers, eager and hungry, more than a little flattering. Ace's eyes flick up, glancing up at him before his eyes flick back down, even as one hand reaches up, taking him in hand. His hands burn, calluses rough on soft skin, and Marco lets out a soft breath at the feel of it. "Can I?" Ace asks, and barely waits for Marco's nod before he's leaning down and... "Seven fucking hells, you're a fucking menace, you know that?" Marco says, one hand coming up to tangle in Ace's hair, as he takes him right to the back of his throat. And it's not practiced, exactly. Ace would be gagging if he were still a normal human. But it's the fact that he lets his form blur, the back of his throat bleeding away into fire, and seven hells. Marco has never met anyone who's adapted to a contract as fast as Ace has his. His fingers tighten in Ace's hair, forced to breathe for a second, as he computes the sensation of tight, wet heat and searing flame. The fact that Ace, the fucking brat, is still tracing his tongue along the underside even as he rocks forward, plunging Marco deeper to where Ace's insides have given way to liquid fire. An inferno licks at his skin, threatening to bite. The heat of it hot enough to sting, and fuck, it only makes Marco harder. "Shit, kid," Marco says, letting out a rough breath, half a laugh. "You're really fucking something." He doesn't think there's 100 people in the world who'd have learned to embrace the flames with half the same instinctive brilliance that Ace has, let alone accept them so completely into their own body. They're a part of him now, completely and truly, and watching him use it, feeling the bite of those flames, the raw heat of them, all that burning ferocity and passion brought to the surface. It's hotter than anything Marco has ever seen. Ace just rolls his eyes, looking aggrieved, but Marco can tell the brat is feeling more than a little smug about it. He draws back, turning his head to kiss up the side of it, every touch searing, tongue a scorching, burning heat. And then he's sealing his lips around Marco once more and swallowing him down. Marco's hips hitching slightly as his head falls back, biting back a noise. He doesn't think a human has ever gotten him so worked up. Can't remember the last time he felt this much. And for a second, the thought of turning Ace over and taking him, sinking into that burning heat, slick, aching flesh and sizzling flame, is enough to make his breath catch. Even better is the thought of feeling that heat inside him, feeling fingers turn to claws on his side, the raw, burning heat of Ace's desire as he lets himself loose, fierce and unbound. Marco lets out a soft noise, stroking the arch of Ace's cheek with his thumb as Ace works him, swallowing him down deep into the slick, burning pressure of his mouth. Tongues of blue flame shiver across Marco's skin. The room cast in shadows of glowing blue and orange, everything fading away as Marco lets himself get lost in the feel of it. A liquid, lazy heat rolling through him, fingers still tangled in Ace's hair. Not guiding, exactly, applying no pressure, just feeling the movement of the rise and fall of his head as he swallows Marco down. And fuck the heat of it. Marco rocks up to meet it, unable to help himself, fingers tightening the minutest amount in Ace's hair as he swallows Marco down, bobbing his head. There's a real part of Marco that just wants to take Ace like this, wind his fingers through his hair tight and fuck his throat, slow and sure, sinking into that searing fire until Marco comes apart. Ace has other ideas, though, one hand tracing up Marco's thigh, fire licking against soft skin. He pauses before reaching Marco's entrance, lifting his head, voice coming hoarse as the flames rearrange themselves to form vocal cords once more.
Lube?
Kid, Marco says, too blissed out to be anything but utterly, delightfully bemused. I'm a demon. I'm made of fucking fire. You could cut me in half with a fucking axe and it wouldn't hurt. You couldn't hurt me if you tried. That makes Ace's eyes narrow, giving Marco a suspicious look. But Marco just raises a brow. Even if Marco weren't a demon, his healing rate is so high that by the time he ever even felt the sting, it'd already be healed. And that's if Marco had the sort of nerves that allowed him to feel pain in the same way humans do at all. Even if it were rough, that's something of a pleasure in its own right. And the thought of working Ace up enough for him to throw Marco down and furiously have his way with him is something Marco is going to have to revisit another day. Fine, Ace snaps, finally, sounding somewhat mulish, and Marco just rolls his eyes. He grabs Ace by the arm, hauling him up, earning a surprised yelp as Marco drags them chest to chest, dragging Ace down into a plunging kiss. For all that Ace's puppy concern is endearing, Marco'd much rather just get on with the real thing, revved up enough that he's starting to get a bit handsy. Ace makes a noise of annoyance, biting at Marco's lip. But he's getting into it too, the last of his restraint falling away as he allows himself to just take, one hand sliding greedily up the side of Marco's thigh, pressing apart his legs as he kisses Marco deep and fucking hungry, tongues sliding together, flickers of stray fire igniting on skin where the two of them brush, skin to skin, bodies pressed close. Ace is losing himself now, letting the last of all those little hesitations and reservations fall away. And Marco revels in it, the feeling of him, fierce and furious, burning hands on skin and biting kisses. He's glorious like this, flames resonating with the burning heat of his spirit, the feel of it enough to leave Marco heady, drunk on the feel of it, every touch like electric currents running beneath his skin, a sharp, sizzling sort of pleasure. Ace hitches one of Marco's legs up against his side, biting one last kiss into his neck before drawing back. He hesitates, lined up but not taking the final plunge, eyes flicking up to confirm with Marco one last time. With a human, the sentiment would be sweet and probably more than necessary. As it is, Marco finds it endearing and only slightly exasperating. Demon, Marco reminds him, only somewhat impatiently. And this time Ace doesn't need further prompting. He nods his head once, setting his jaw, and then he's lining himself up and pushing in. Marco lets out a contented sigh, letting his head fall back even as he brings his other leg up, curling it around Ace's hips with a noise of satisfaction. There's a faint sensation of stretching, a soft adjustment of pressure. And then Ace is gliding in smoothly, pressing in deep. Fuck, Ace says roughly, head falling down against Marco's chest, breathing deeply. His hands clench around Marco's sides, almost shaking. Fuck, that's hot. Gods, Marco, you're fucking burning. Yeah, Marco replies, only somewhat breathlessly, because he can feel it. The sizzle of Ace's fire against his own, trapped beneath the thin veneer of flesh, but still there. The brutal hunger of the flames caught within boiling blood and set to the tune of mortal lust. And it's like a drug feeling it, like a high that threatens to leave Marco shaking and moaning, melting away into a loose sort of liquid heat. Can I? Ace asks, hands flexing on Marco's hips as his hips hitch forward, rolling in a tiny tentative circle. Marco lets out a breathy noise, eyes fluttering shut, head falling back. In the end, Ace doesn't wait for an answer, reading it off Marco's face, because he pulls back and thrusts back in, hips rocking in a tight circle. Marco making a low noise and reaching up to clutch Ace's shoulders as Ace starts up a rhythm. And seven hells, the feel of it, the drag of skin on skin, the snap of Ace's hips, the flicker of flames as Ace kisses lines down Marco's neck, even as he drives in and in and in. Marco lets out a quiet breath, fingers clenching at Ace's shoulders, and he can feel himself slipping, skin shivering and giving way to blue flames as he wavers, caught in the pressure, waves of burning heat rolling across the bed as he lets himself fall into it, noises stealing from his lips freely. Ace fucks him through it, biting into a neck that is one part flame even as his hands skim flesh, adding fire of their own to the mix, even as he plunges deep into the burning heat of Marco's body. Things are starting to catch on fire now, flames licking up the side of the bed frame, the blankets blackening and turning to ash as Marco's control slips, but he can't bring himself to care. There's something mesmerizing about the feel of it, the sizzling heat of the flame and Ace's body against his own, all taut motion and sweat-slicked skin. He can feel Ace, feel his concentration, the razor edge of his focus as he rocks deep, Marco's body opening to him, tight flares of pressure skittering through his nervous system, and the feel of his soul against Marco's own. It's brilliant, so bright and dazzling and beautiful, fire sparking from dark, bright embers. Marco slips a little more, fire sizzling across his skin, and he feels heady, high on the taste of it. Ace's body, his soul, the spark of his fire. Claws drag lines on Ace's back, making him hiss as they draw blood. But Marco barely notices, too caught up in the snap of the flame, the thundering throb of Ace's heartbeat. Ace makes a noise, skin flickering into orange fire, almost in self-defense as Marco comes to pieces in his arms. Blue fire licking over his skin, fierce and strong enough to burn now. And the feel of it, Ace's fire melting through his own, that sharp shock of overlapping fire, deep flickering heat that burns through the heart of him, every inch of him resonating with the touch of him. It's enough to make Marco white out. He makes a noise, low and wrenching, flames seizing and surging out over the bed, engulfed in blinding blue. And Ace is still holding him tight, the heat of him, the pressure, half in flames, but still buried inside him. And he can feel Ace still moving, can feel his fire snapping out in turn, washing over Marco's own, even as he presses deeper, burying himself deep within Marco's body, within the raging inferno of him. And oh, this brilliant, beautiful brat. He'll be the end of Marco. Marco realizes only after the fact that he'd come sometime during his whiteout, when the world was flickering into blue flame. And when he comes to again, Ace is lying against his chest, panting, sweat slick on his skin, body still half lost in a haze of orange flame as a few last sparks of blue fire flicker across him. Marco can feel the warm rush of skittering pleasure still surging through his system. The high ride now just starting to come down, and knows that Ace has already come too. Marco lets out a quiet noise, sleepy and satisfied, slumping back against the charred embers of the mattress. The bed has been burned almost all the way down to the frame, the rest of the room little better. And Marco isn't usually one for this sort of magic. His powers swayed to a raw sort of communion. Fire and healing, life and death. But that doesn't mean he doesn't still have a trick or two up his sleeve. A wave of his hand has the room returning to its original state. Burnt paneling growing back and bed fluffing up, good as new if you ignore the faint lingering smell of smoke. Marco slumps back into bed, letting out a pleased hum when he finds the intact pillows. He feels a lazy, easy sort of liquid satisfaction that makes him draw Ace close, dragging him up until he's sprawled against Marco's side, all warm, naked skin, languid and comfortable. Ace is tense for a second, holding himself taut, glancing up at Marco with something like surprise. Marco just hums, pressing a warm kiss to the top of his head, and draws him in closer, already beginning to go lax and sleepy. Ace remains tense, half seeming to expect Marco to turn over and boot him out then and there. And eventually, Marco lets out an exasperated breath and rolls his eyes, tugging him until he's pressed up against his side more firmly, and drawing the blanket around them, legs tangled together. "Sleep, you idiot," Marco says, voice coming in a sleepy grumble. "I'm not going anywhere." Finally, Ace lets out a breath, the tension fading from his frame as he tucks his face against Marco's side, the sharp lines of him slowly loosening and turning soft and easy. A moment later, Marco feels Ace's arm shift, tentatively coming to rest over Marco's waist, and Marco lets out a pleased hum, burying his face deeper in the pillows even as he tightens his arm around Ace. Kid's still rough around the edges, still holding himself with the same sharp-edged, brittle wariness as a stray cat. But he's getting there, Marco thinks. He's getting there. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic and would like to leave a comment for myself or for the author, you are more than welcome to. If you'd like to leave a comment for me, the podficker, you can find the podfic post, which is probably wherever you found the podfic, and leave a comment there. If you'd like to leave a comment for the author, you can find a text post, which should be linked in the podfic post, and leave a comment on that text post. Thanks for listening.